the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
It's time to go tell it on the mountain. Jesus the Savior is born. As we approach Christmas Day, we have many opportunities to share the birth of Jesus. And even his name rings true to its meaning. He will save his people. But on that silent night, those who learned of his birth, of that miraculous child, knew he was special. I mean, how often do angels come down from heaven to present a birth announcement? They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Savior. But did they know exactly how Jesus would save his people? We have the advantage of our position in history. We can see the child given to us as a great gift that we all needed and that we all still need. We can see that he was born a king, but born to poor parents of the working class and not royalty. We can see that the hands that created the universe humbled themselves to work wood as a carpenter and not object because he was above manual labor. We can see the Son of God love and respect his mother, even while on the cross. We can see his earthly life's trajectory. It moves ever forward towards that cross. His birth, his childhood, his ministry, all pointing to the cross. To that cross where his name will ring true, he will save his people. And I, for one, am very thankful to be among those people. Each week, as we gather as his people, as his church, to remember that on that cross, that Jesus took our sins and took our punishment. While it is with joy and excitement that we anticipate his birthday and the celebration of Christmas, we should all remember that the babe born in the stable is our Savior and King. And let us remember how Jesus taught us to remember by the breaking of bread and the sharing of the fruit of the vine from the cup. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're just thankful that we have this opportunity each week to gather around the table at your invitation. We're thankful that we can remember the sacrifice that was made for us on that cross. We can remember your broken body, the crown of thorns, the nails piercing your hands. We can remember the bloodshed, the blood that represents the new covenant, so that we can have the hope of eternal life with you, dear Father. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we each take this, that you be with us and that you humble us and that we take it respectfully. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Hey, did you notice the train display in the gym when you came in? If you did not, because of the Snowflake Festival, Dave Peters put up this train with some of his friends, and I asked him to keep it here. Saturday, it was over Sunday, so you guys could see it. So between services, stop in the gym and look at it. It's a really neat setup. Because that is in the gym, my Sunday school class will be here in the auditorium this morning. So if you're in my Sunday school class, make sure you're in here by 10 o'clock. Don't just be staring at the trains that whole time. Come back to Sunday school class, if you would, at 10 o'clock. Please look over the other announcements in the bulletin. We want to congratulate and welcome Devin Hall, who was baptized into Christ this last week. Here's Devin right here. We're going to correct the spelling of his name, though, in the bulletin. That should be an A, D-E-V-A-N. So correct that, if you will. Devin, get that right. Getting close to the Christmas tree program, next Sunday night will be rehearsal for it, so it's not too far away. I need about 5 to 6 people to help me on Friday at 10 o'clock to wrap presents that we're going to put under the tree. If you're good at wrapping boxes, now if you're like me and you use a whole roll of tape to wrap one box, don't volunteer. But if you're good at wrapping, and then we need to get the poinsettias down, and we're going to decorate in front of the tree here on Friday morning about 10 o'clock. So if you're able to do that, let me know. We'd greatly appreciate that. Please take time to look over the other announcements in the bulletin. Remember those people in the prayer list with your prayers, if you would. Let's take a moment to go to God in silent prayer. Amen. Today we're going to look at the book of Malachi, so if you want to turn to that in your Bible, you can, but we'll have it up on the screen. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. We're going to look at chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4 is the last chapter in the Old Testament. Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament. And Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 is the last prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Now, many of you know this, but there's a time span between Malachi and Matthew, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the writings. There's 400 years of silence between Malachi to the events that take place in Matthew. So the Jews are anticipating the coming of Christ for 400 years. Malachi is the last to write about it. Here in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, we read, I need help there, Bridget, it's not going. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Now, most translations here do not say rays, healing in its rays. Most translations say healing in his wings. And that's because the literal translation of the Hebrew word is wings. But everybody understands and agrees that the meaning of the word is rays. When you look at the sun and you see what the Hebrew says, wings coming out, it's rays coming out. So the New International translates it rays rather than wings. But I tell you that because there's a Christmas song that has this verse in, or at least part of this verse. Anybody besides Jim know what Christmas song that is that has this verse in? Amy, do you know? Yeah, let's see if you really do. What is it? Look at that. Yeah. Man. Yeah. There you go. The last verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing goes, Hail the heaven born Prince of Peace, Hail the Son of, here we go, Righteousness. And that's S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen and healing in his wings. So if you're familiar with it, doesn't sound like most of you are, but it probably comes from remembering it from that past song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, from this prophecy of the Messiah, I want to share with you three things about Jesus Christ. The first one is this. Jesus is our sunrise. Malachi says the Son of Righteousness will rise. Now, of course, he's using imagery here, like sunrises. I like sunrises. Most people like sunrises. Very few people dislike sunrises. My wife loves sunrises, and she goes out in the front porch, and she'll take picture after picture of the sunrise. I have some here. Let's see if this works. Bridget, would you? Yeah, there's a picture from our front porch, with the church in the forefront. That's a pretty neat picture. I like that. I like looking at her pictures. I don't like standing on the porch with her taking them. Here's another one. Look, that one, that's beautiful, isn't it? Really, the sky all lit up. That's a neat sunrise. And then this is my favorite one. You got the flag there, and you see the sun. And look at that ray, or wing, whatever you want to call it. If you can see it up there. Yeah, you can see it up there, the ray coming out from the bottom, and also a little bit from the top of the sun. Now, again, I don't like standing with her on the front porch and looking at the sunrise. I like looking at her pictures. But I do like some sunrises. Bridget, will you show the sun? There we are, Bob Evans sunrise breakfast. I'll get up for that. That's a good sunrise. Next picture, Bridget. Now here's a picture of the sun coming up just over the horizon. I like this one. And as you look at it, you can see it's bright. And it gives you a promise that a new day is coming. It says to you there's great potential in this new day coming. Let's go back to the other slide, Bridget, if we would. Now, Malachi says that Jesus is our sunrise. I think that's a very appropriate description if you think of Jesus. Think about what the Bible says about the resurrection of Christ. When did Jesus raise from the dead? At sunrise. Matthew 28 tells us it was near it was the first day of the week, and the women, it was toward sunrise, and they went to the tomb, not sunrise yet, but it's toward sunrise, and they head out to the tomb, And by the time they get to the tomb, the sun has risen. Both the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N. And that's great symbolism, you see, for Easter. I don't think that's a coincidence, because the sunrise is the beginning of a new day. It's what Easter is all about. Not only the beginning of a new day, but actually a beginning of a new age. Because before the sunrise, before Jesus rose from the dead, we were under the old covenant. And the Jews were looking forward with anticipation at the coming of Jesus. And now that Jesus has risen from the dead, we have a new day. We're under the new covenant. No longer the covenant of law, but the covenant of grace. So we have moved from the anticipation of the fact that the Messiah, the Christ, is coming into the world to the fact that he has come into the world, and we are blessed by the promises of this new day. Now, when Jesus talked about himself in the Gospels, he often used this imagery of light. John 8:12 says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life.'" Now, when Jesus said that, it takes us back to what the Old Testament prophets said about Jesus. I think about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and this is a passage that comes from Handel's Messiah. So some of you might recognize this, since so many of you recognized it from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I don't know. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." That's a prophecy. That's a picture of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1:78, when Zechariah is told about the coming of the Messiah, he says, "Because of God's mercy," listen, "the rising sun," and it's spelled S-U-N here, "the rising sun will come to us from heaven." And of course, that's, again, Jesus Christ who is going to come. He connects the birth of Christ to what Micah said in chapter 4, verse 2. Jesus is our sunrise. He brings us hope. He brings us the possibility of a new day, a brand new day, a brand new start. Now, most of us have already experienced the sunrise of Jesus Christ, because when you and I first became Christians, we committed ourselves to Jesus. We were baptized into Christ. We were risen to walk in what? Newness of life. We were given a brand new day, a brand new start. Like the song says, our sins were washed away, and our night was turned to day. I think about Paul. Paul called himself the worst sinner, the worst of sinners. And he's an apostle when he says that, but he remembers his past. And before he was an apostle, he did many bad things, including persecuting Christians, hunting them down, persecuting them, putting them in jail. And one day he was on a trip to Damascus to arrest some people, Christians, and put them in jail. And a light from heaven shined upon him, and it was Jesus. And you can just picture Paul, Saul blocking his eyes from the sun. And Jesus says to him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And Saul is blinded at that time by the brightness. And he goes to Damascus. Jesus tells him, "Go to Damascus. It will be told to you what to do." And in Damascus, he waits 3 days, and a prophet named Ananias comes and tells him what God wants him to do. And then he heals him of his blindness, and he is baptized into Christ. And he says to him, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Saul did just that, and he got a fresh new start, and he really used that brand new day to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Now, there's a second thing that Malachi tells us here about Jesus. It's not just that he's our sunrise. Jesus is our healer. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. Woman writes about her son Noah. Noah had broken his leg, and he was on crutches. Now, it just so happened that it was that his birthday it was coming up, and he, at school, when it was your birthday at that school, you took cupcakes so the whole class could celebrate your birthday with you. And he was in charge of taking cupcakes, but he was on crutches, and he couldn't carry his cupcakes. So his mom said to his brother, Brian, who's in sixth grade, Noah's in fourth grade, says to Brian, "Brian, will you carry the cupcakes to school for your brother?" And Brian says, "I could, but I prefer not to." And his mother saw this as an opportunity to teach. And she said, "Now, Brian, What would Jesus do? And Brian said, Jesus would heal him so he could carry his own cupcakes. Well, Jesus can heal us from physical illness, and he does it more often than I think we probably give him credit for. And of course, Jesus might stop you from getting sick in the first place, and when you do get sick, he might stop you from getting very seriously ill. Or he might help you through his providence, that is, he'll help you through medicine or through doctors or maybe through surgery. Or he may work a miracle in your life. We see Jesus doing that a lot in the New Testament. Luke chapter 8, we see a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. She's gone to all kinds of doctors. None of them are able to help her. She has spent all her money, and now she goes to see Jesus, and she just reaches out and touches the edge of his garment, and she's healed. In the same chapter, Jesus goes to the home of a man named Jairus. His little daughter, 12 years old, had died, and Jesus took her by the hand and raised her from the dead. The Bible reminds us nothing is impossible with God. Ephesians 3:20, Paul reminds us he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Jesus is able to heal us, and he does heal us very often, but he doesn't always heal us. The Bible doesn't promise that Jesus will always heal us. The Bible reminds us in Hebrews 9:27 that we are destined, or that is appointed, once to die. If we are destined to die, then we can't be physically healed all the time. God doesn't promise that he will always heal us of physical illnesses. And of course, you can see that from a number of biblical characters. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was. Some people think he had malaria. Some people think it was bad eyesight. We don't know, but he asked God on three different occasions to heal him. This is Paul. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He was not healed of that illness. And look at what the Bible says about Elisha, the Old Testament prophet. 2 Kings 13:14. Now Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. Now Elisha took over the ministry of the prophet Elijah. When he did, he got a double blessing, a double portion. He was blessed. He was serving God, and yet he got sick and he died. Now, I don't know, you don't know, why God sometimes heals us and why sometimes he doesn't. We can guess, but we don't know. But the fact is, he will not always heal us of physical illnesses. But Jesus will always heal us spiritually if we ask him to. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Notice this, by his wounds you have been healed. You were dying in your sins. Jesus bore your sins, my sins, in his own body there in that tree, and we are healed by what Jesus did for us. And the good news is Jesus did that for all of us. All of us can choose to be healed spiritually. The Bible very plainly gives us a prescription for spiritual health. Romans 10:10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. We need to believe and confess Christ if we want to be saved, spiritually healed. And Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God's prescription for spiritual health is faith in Christ, and that faith leads you to confess him and to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. Now, I want to say this. Don't mess with that prescription. Don't try to change that prescription. That is the prescription God has given us to be healed of our sins. He's the doctor. He's the great physician, not us. So we need to follow that prescription. We need to take the pill of faith. We need to take that pill of confession. We need to take that pill of repentance. We need to take that pill of baptism. Here's the wonderful thing about being healed spiritually. When we are healed spiritually, God promises us that one day we will also be healed of all our physical illnesses or problems. That one day, in eternity, we will receive a new, imperishable body. I like the way the New Living Bible translates that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, but let me tell you a wonderful secret God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies, and then we who are living will be transformed so that we will never die. For perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. See, here's what the Bible tells us. When we die, our souls go to be with God in heaven. But when Jesus comes back and the trumpet blows, our bodies that are buried or cremated or however, those bodies will be raised, he tells us in Thessalonians, to meet our souls in the sky, because God made us to be body and soul. If we are living when he comes back, our bodies will be transformed as we raise to meet him. We have these new imperishable bodies. That's a wonderful promise we get. We get these perfect bodies in heaven, and there will be no broken hearts in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Death and illness gone. A number of years ago, Bob Russell wrote in the Lookout magazine about a little girl that had died, and he had her funeral, said it was the hardest funeral that he ever did. She was run over by a truck. Her parents had were moving some things into a storage unit. They got a U-Haul truck. Her dad loaded it up and backed it out of the front yard, and he did not realize his little girl was playing behind it. He ran over his own daughter. She was killed instantly. Bob said it was really crowded at the funeral home. The pain was unimaginable. Very little that he could say to ease the pain. When all the people left, the mother and father stood there at the casket and just kind of brushing the little girl's golden hair. She had asked the funeral director if he would to play her daughter's favorite song, You Are My Sunshine. And she stood there and sang it to her daughter. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. And Bob Russell said it. At that moment, he just wished that Jesus would come down from heaven and walk over to that little girl and grab her by the hand and say, get up, Ashley. But he didn't do that. But he ends his article with these words. I think this is really neat. He reminds us, but you know what? Jesus is going to do that someday. That's what the Bible promises. We will be healed spiritually, and we will get these new imperishable bodies. We will raise from the dead. We will go to heaven, and we will know each other again in heaven. So Malachi tells us Jesus is our sunrise, Jesus is our healer, and he also tells us that Jesus is our joy. Malachi 4:2 says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Now look at this picture. The barn door has opened. Most of us don't see calves frolicking. You know, you're fortunate if that's something you see often. But the barn door is open and these young calves go taking across the field, running and jumping, full of joy. Here's another picture of a calf, you know. I mean, just happy. He's out of the barn and able to frolic in the field. But most of you don't see calves, but you see your dog. So think of your dog that you let out. Look at this picture. You know, your dog. Your dog runs around in the backyard. He runs around in circles. He rolls on the ground. He jumps over obstacles. He runs and runs and runs. He's out of the house. He's free to frolic and play. And that's the picture that Jesus is giving us here. Jesus releases us from what's ever holding us back, and he fills us with joy. Put up another slide there so people don't look at this the whole rest of the sermon. Okay. He heals you of your sins, fills you with joy. He's the sunshine of your soul, and he fills you with joy. He makes you feel like dancing, like running in the field under the warmth of the sunshine. And we feel like that because of the spiritual realities that we have as Christians. These spiritual realities that cause us to have a deep sense of well-being, an abiding joy, not necessarily a happiness, but a deep joy and peace that we get from the promises we have in Christ Jesus. Paul did not have an easy life. He faced a lot of unpleasant circumstances. He was this servant for God going all over the world preaching the gospel. Yet he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that five different times he was whipped by the Jewish authorities. Now, the Jewish authorities had a rule. You could only be whipped 40 times, and then they had to stop. 40 lashes. So if you gave somebody 41 lashes, then you yourself would then get 40 lashes. So they would give you 40 minus 1, 39 lashes to make sure they did not go over. So he had 39 lashes, five different occasions. And then he tells us that on three occasions he was beaten by the Romans with rods. He says he was shipwrecked on three occasions. One time he was spent the night and day in the water. He was imprisoned numerous times. He was stoned and left for dead. He had gone without sleep. He knew what it was to be hungry and cold. He was exposed to death time and time again. And you can look at Paul and you see all those unpleasant circumstances. But he says that he rejoiced. It's not a happiness, a glibness, you know, but he has this deep abiding joy in his life. Not because the circumstances are good, but because even though he's facing bad circumstances, he has this sunlight in his life. His joy was not based upon this world. His joy was not based upon the temporal. His joy was based upon the spiritual realities that he had in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, he writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is temporary, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Max Lucado wrote about a guy named Robert Reed. Lucado said his hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his own teeth. He can't comb his own hair. He can't even put on his own underwear. Strips of Velcro hold his shirts together. He can hardly speak. He has cerebral palsy. Disease keeps him from driving a car, from riding a bike, from going for a walk. But it did not keep him from graduating from Abilene Christian University. He graduated with a degree in Latin. It did not keep him from teaching at the St. Louis Junior College or venturing on five different mission trips. And then he decided that he wanted to be a missionary to Portugal. So despite his disease, he moved to Portugal. He rented a hotel room, began to study the Portuguese language. He found a restaurant owner that would help feed him after the busy hours were over. He found somebody who would instruct him in the language. Then he stationed himself daily in the park at a bench, and he distributed brochures about Christ. He was there for 6 years, and 6 years he led 70 people to become Christians, including one woman named Rosa, who became his wife. Lucado wrote that he had recently heard Robert speak. He said, "I watched other men carry him up on a wheelchair to the platform. I watched them lay a Bible on his lap. I watched his stiff fingers open the pages. I watched as people in the audience wiped away tears of admiration from their faces." He says, "Now Robert could have asked for sympathy and pity, but he did the opposite. He held his bent hand up in the air and said, 'I have everything I need for joy.' His shirts were held together by Velcro, but his life was held together by the joy he had in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our sunshine. Jesus is our healer, and Jesus is our joy. If you're a Christian, that's the promise that you have. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to make that decision so Jesus can be your sunshine and your healer of your soul and the joy of your life. And again, the Bible says to become a Christian, we need to have faith that leads us to confess Christ, repent of our sins, and be baptized into him, born again, given that new, fresh start. So if you're here today and you need to make that decision, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you come forward, we'll take your confession, and we can baptize you. People can't watch because of the tree, but the baptismal is ready. So if you're ready to make that decision, come forward. We'll take your confession. We'll baptize you into Christ today. Let's be standing as we sing.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.